Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. There's nothing quite like freshly picked fruit from the garden, and I'm always keen to stay on top of the latest developments in the fruit-growing world. Later, I'll be joined by Ming Yang from Pomona Fruits, RHS Award winners and garden fruit specialists, to discuss new varieties, including the Eden Apple. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast. The soil begins to get quite wet in my garden now, but I did manage last weekend to get the front lawn mown. You know, the grass is pretty lush, but swept very early just to knock the dew off, and with quite a drying breeze, it allowed me to cut the top off with the hover mower. Not perfect, I'm afraid. The lawn looked a bit messy afterwards, but at least it's been done. And then, of course, there was a heavy shower, so I didn't get the back lawn done. But if you don't sneak out and get grass cut when it's growing so strongly, it can be really difficult come the spring. You know, as always, weather critical to us gardeners. There's still a lot of talk about glyphosate and whether we should or shouldn't use this very good herbicide. At the British Crop Protection Council Congress, Ludovic Bonin from Arvalis delivered a clear message on the French glyphosate position, because they're going to ban it by 2020. And he emphasised that this herbicide is an essential tool for facilitating crop rotation. Alternatives are both ineffective and unworkable in his view. And he forecasts that the French ban will cost their economy €1 billion and drive a big surge in CO2 emissions. You know, if we can't use glyphosate to control weeds in some agricultural and horticultural crops, well, then it will mean mechanical hoeing and, of course, the burning of fossil fuels. I don't really understand all the furore. I mean, we've used this for 20 years, and if people follow the instructions, once it hits the soil, it's locked up, and I really can't see where the fear and worry is. Four more of the Wyvale Garden Centres have sold. The one at Hereford, Wellington, has gone to English Salvage Limited. They're specialists in antique statuary and stuff. They're going to sort of combine their statuary business with the garden centre. So that will give another string to that garden centre's bow. And the Salisbury-based In Excess UK Limited, with 30 years' experience with five outlets, are buying Wyvale West Parley, that's near Ferndown, Fair Oak at Eastleigh, and Lanford at Southampton, all down there in Hampshire. The old company, you know, the five outlets, were doing a turnover of £10.63 million, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with their new acquisitions. They trade in deeply discounted lines, including such national brands as Charles Bentley, the tool manufacturer, Miracle-Gro, Erin, Vitax and Westland. They could shake up the retail business down in Hampshire from the sound of that lot. And continuing with the sort of trade reports, Garden Trade News on their bestsellers list say that the garden centres are lagging behind 2016 and 2017 by about 11%. But, of course, they've got four more weeks to Christmas, and that could change things. Houseplant sales for the last week in November, were up by 4%, with sales of poinsettias and hellebores up 50%. So it looks as if people are still in a plant-buying mood. And with the hellebores, of course, the Helleborus niger, Christmas rose, that would not really flower when we were growing them from seed some years ago until January or February. But the modern cultivars are just full of flower in December and make great Christmas presents as well as garden plants. Now, on advice, no more delay. After that frost last week blackened all the foliage on frost-tender begonias and dahlias. You know, the tubers need lifting from compost and soil and dried as quick as you can. Once they're dry, then there's much less chance of them rotting. And the same goes for gladiolus. Lift them, cut all but 2 inches off the stem, and bring them into the warm. Once their outer skins are papery dry, just snap off the stump of stem, screw off the old corm from the base, dry them again so they're really nice and dry, and keep the little ones, what we call spawn. They'll be sort of garden pea size. If when you plant next year, the new corms, you just sprinkle some of that spawn in amongst them, after 2 years or so, that spawn will get big enough to start flowering and will increase your stock.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Our guest this week is Ming Yang from Pomona Fruits. Now, Ming, you've been involved with fruit growing for some years now.
Yes, 20, 30 years now.
And do you have any specific likes or dislikes when it comes to fruit, or are you just interested in everything?
Well, just have a really good interest on growing all sorts of fruits. Fruits are suitable for growing in this country in normal domestic situations. So always excited about the new varieties, the new type of fruits become available.
Because I'm particularly interested in the Apple Eden.
Yes.
It's amazing that that name wasn't used before, isn't it?
It's a wonderful name, you know, used for all sorts of projects, etc. But the first time it appeared as a cultivar name for this new apple. Normal apples, if you prepare fruit salad, you cut it open sort of within a few minutes, the surface will turn in brown there. So normally what people do is sort of squeeze, drop lemon or something to prevent that from turning brown. But this new variety, Eden, he's got a natural trait, you know, and when you cut it open, brilliant white flesh. And it stays that fresh white color for hours and hours. The apple, September, October, then you can store it so right until February, March. Really good storage life.
So you see this as a really good garden introduction, you know, dual purpose, long season. And is it fairly easy to grow?
It is. The growing pretty much the same as any other apple. You can grow in them in different forms, shapes. We use M26 rootstock, therefore, you know, suitable for small garden situation.
Yeah, the M26 is a very useful rootstock, isn't it, for our shrinking gardens?
very versatile, not so fussy about soil, and so give reasonable vigor, but not producing a tree too big for a small garden situation.
Yeah. Now, on the same page in your catalogue with Eden is the rarest apple in the world. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? What's the story behind that?
Yes, the variety was found by people on the Bali Islands, just off Wales coast. And, you know, these very people just, you know, picking the wild fruit. And they say, oh, this is a wonderful variety. They send the fruit to the National Trust and try to get it identified. It turned out, no, they didn't have any variety in the National Apple collections, so it's been named where the place was found, and the variety being propagated and made available to home gardeners.
And it's particularly good for cooking, I think.
It is, and it's got very good disease resistance as well, because this has been growing on the islands. Normally, whenever we thought about the Wales or that part of the country, you always worry about the disease on apples, but the variety is very free from that.
Yes, it's the high rainfall, isn't it, as you go west, and you have problems with scab, Now, Ming, sitting where you are, trading with all of these different fruits, if we stay with apples just a little longer, what would you recommend as a good basic cultivars for most homeowners? I mean, if you're going to choose two or three apples from your sort of sales figures and your own experience, what would you choose?
There are so many varieties to choose from. Different people like different things. Some people say, oh, I just like red apple. And we got a wonderful variety called the Scrumptious.
Oh, now I'm all for that. That's a lovely apple, that is.
Yes, wonderful name.
but it's lovely to eat too, isn't it?
It is, yes. Yeah. If you want something you can store well, traditional English apple, there's a variety called the Christmas Pippin. It's a Cox-type apple, much easier to grow than Cox because it doesn't have the disease-prone feature like a Cox, so it's a huge advantage for home grower.
Well, now, can we do the same and take things a little wider? I mean, on pears, for example, what would your recommendation be then with pears?
Pear trees, normally, if people just want to grow a small tree, Concords is the top choice. But there are other self-fertile variety available. There's a variety called Invincible. This variety does have a very long flowering period, because normally pear flowers early. If you get hit by the late frost, that year's crop could suffer. But with this variety, because it flowers over a longer period, it can easily escape the short spell of frost damage, and you still get crop on them.
You know, I don't know Invincible at all. Certainly haven't grown it. Yes. Did that come from France?
It's a French variety, yes. It's dual-purpose pear. It's quite a nice plumpy pear compared with Conference or Concord, a very slim pear. It's very, very good flavour.
And I see from your catalogue it's both dessert and culinary purposes. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And also it's self-fertile. Yeah. Very popular seller with our customer. Very short flowering period, and yes, it's very difficult to grow for, you know, unless you've got ideal conditions and the situation.
Yeah, looks as if I might have to give Invincible a try. And one of the things I quite like to do, where I've got one tree and I have a smallish tree of Conference, is in March, April to graft another one on. Do you do sort of family trees with more than one variety on a trunk?
We do family trees, apple and a pear, small collection of them. So the typical variety we use is Williams, Camise, and the Concord. That is available for this season.
And for the average small garden, if you can keep those three in balance on the one trunk, it's a sensible way, isn't it, to have different varieties, different seasons on the one tree?
Absolutely. As you just mentioned, keeping tree in balance can be challenging sometimes.
Yes. If you're not careful, the strong one gets away and the others tend to fade over the years.
Yeah.
Well, then take us on to cherries, because quite a bit's happening in the cherry world, isn't it?
Absolutely. There are always a new variety become available. Customers nowadays, like when they go to the supermarket, when they buy a nice black cherry, and they say, oh, yes, fancy grow some of those in my garden. There are varieties in our range. We've got Penny and Accordia, both produce a very sweet black cherry. Accordia is self-fertile, but Penny will require a pollinator.
And that Accordia, that's spelled K-O-R-D-I-A.
K-O-R-D-I-A.
Yeah. And what sort of size are these cherry trees likely to grow?
The cherry tree, we use cocked rootstock, so that will give a tree size up to 12 to 15 feet. Sometimes it may be too big for small garden situation, but there are horticultural techniques you can use to get the tree size down by growing an open-centered tree or festooning the branches. That way the tree won't grow upwards, and also that way they will come into fruition much early.
Yes, I think you need to explain that term, festooned.
Festooned, yes. Festoon means just bending the branch down. Commercial grower, they tend to just use wire, cables, tie the tip of the long branch, bend them below horizontal level. In home situation, what you can do is use a small bag of small poly bag with some garden compost. Then you tie onto the end of the long branch. That simply just weigh down the branch. Because the branch go horizontal, below horizontal level, and they produce less vegetative growth and improve the flower bud formation.
Now, that's a very clever idea. So you've just got a polythene bag with something heavy in it. I mean, you could even use a few pebbles, couldn't you? And you tie that on the tip, and then the weight brings it over, almost like a boy making a bow and arrow. Takes it over in a semicircle.
Yeah.
And then it flowers all the way along that stem?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. What do you do with it long term? I mean, do you leave it just in that position, and if another strong branch grows from it, you festoon that in the same way?
Cherry trees, they do produce the flowers on spurs. Once that branch become form a cluster of flower buds, they will fruit on that branches for a long time.
Well, now, if we move away from tree fruits, another great specialism of Pomona are strawberries. And there again, the speed of change in the cultivars listed is just unbelievable, isn't it?
Absolutely. A few years ago, all we know is El Santa, El Santa, El Santa. But now, every year you go to the supermarket, you say, that's new, that's new. Don't remember seeing that variety names being mentioned before. Just so many new variety comes into market and available for home gardener to grow.
Well, I think it was 2013 when we introduced Morling Centenary at the Chelsea Flower Show and had some fruit there for people to taste, and that was very popular. And what about Vibrant? I mean, I'm looking for varieties that, if they crop well in the summer, also give us a second dose. And Vibrant will do that, won't it? If you sort of get it to flower and fruit fairly early.
Yes, it's the natural season. It's the early summer. So in South England, that will give you crop sort of late May, June time and feed it well. It will produce a small amount of secondary flowers. so you get double crop on them.
Yeah. And what is the most popular? I mean, do people still go for El Santa and Cambridge Favourite? I mean, I wouldn't give them house room in my garden, but I would.
Well, we still sell a good quantity of older variety. You mentioned Cambridge Favourite. In fact, a lot of people are still going for Royal Sovereign. That's over 100 years old.
Well, you know, I don't believe that the Royal Sovereign we grow now is the variety that was grown all those years ago. When I've tasted them recently, they don't taste as I remember them from the 50s, but perhaps that's my taste rather than the variety changing.
I think a lot of people have that comment. Yes, the fruit never tastes the same as a childhood, you know, taste. I think our tastes change over the years, don't we?
Yeah, I think they do. And one of the problems is that if you grow at home a variety like Morling Centenary and you grow it well, the taste of that is so nice that when you then get exposed to an ordinary supermarket El Santa or something, I mean, it just tastes terrible by comparison.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why people sort of come to us, buy a few plants to start off with, and they say, no, don't want to buy supermarket fruits anymore. I want to grow my own, have more range and more varieties, and that's the way it goes.
And how popular, could I ask, is a fairly recent variety, Buddy, in strawberries?
Buddy variety was introduced a few years ago, and because it registered one of the highest Brix level in strawberry, and also it's a perpetual fruiting type, fruits over a longer period, is very popular with our customer.
If there are listeners out there who are thinking of growing a bit of soft fruit or top fruit, are you available by phone for people to call in and get advice?
Yes, we open Monday to Saturday. We're always on the phone, very happy to answer any questions. So if anybody has any question regarding fruit growing, want recommendations, just give us a call.
And that's on 01255 440 410.
That's it.
And,
yeah.
And you've got a website too?
We've got a very comprehensive website. It's recently been updated, brand new version. So plenty of information there if you happy to browse around. www.pomonafruits.co.uk.
Ming, thank you very much for your time today. It's very useful to have all those years of experience that you and Claire and other colleagues have just on the end of the phone.
You're most welcome.
Today's thought comes from Irish dramatist Sean O'Casey, who said, "When one has reached 81, one likes to sit back and let the world turn by itself without trying to turn it." I'm not sure about that. I keep getting the feeling it'd be nice to sit back, but find our modern helter-skelter world keeps pushing me on, leave alone me pushing the world on. Thanks again to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.